Welcome to the 2020 Oasis Leadership Conference, a ministry of Evangelist Heath Williams. We hope these services are a blessing to you, and we thank you for your continued prayers and support. For more information, please visit heathwilliams.org.
Don't talk to you about the post-game interview. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is going to give Paul a post-game interview. If a man's ever going to get serious, he'll get serious if he knows he's going to die. And really, if he knows, he may be writing to someone precious to him the last time. Timothy's precious to Paul. And we've heard these sermons today, and I wish every young preacher in America could hear both of them. And it's what wisdom. And you'll either live a message before you preach, or you sure will right after you do. Sometimes people ask, and you got to understand, God gives different men different deliveries, different volumes in their voice, and we all are different. But you'll never preach in the glory till you pray in the glory. That's the key. You want power on your preaching? You better get power on your praying. That's where it all starts. Now, the beauty about praying together. You young men, if you live close enough together, have you a weekly prayer meeting together. If you can't do that, get somebody in your church, maybe an older person, but you've got to have public prayer meetings. You got to have it. And I'm not talking about just in a church atmosphere. I'm talking about where you exercise and build up and enlarge your heart and your spirit. Muscle has to be exercised. You don't gain more muscle when you get stronger. You increase the ones you already have. You just increase the cells. You don't add muscle. You really don't. You just increase the size of what you got. And in private prayer, a lot of times it is communion. It's communion. But in public prayer, there's a different atmosphere. Now, once in a while, you'll get that in private prayer, and more than once in a while. But I'm talking about when you get in public prayer with men, it's like being on a ball field or on a military training field. You will push yourself like you'd never push yourself by yourself. Unless you get in a church and you're in there by yourself. I used to preach for hours. When I first started preaching, I'd pray all over the church in the dark and preach to everybody. I'm telling you, man, I was crazy. I couldn't even hardly cut wood, a chainsaw. I'm a blowing up inside of me, preaching to myself. I'm serious. But when you get together with men, somebody will have the spirit of prayer, or a pray till you get it, because Satan fights it. And sometimes everybody will have it. But see, when you're praying and you push yourself, you're gaining strength on the inside. Your spirit's like muscle, it's got to be exercised. I believe this stuff. And what real prayer does, it subdues your soul. It subdues it. And it subdues your emotions, and God's power starts moving. I'll show y'all something right quick. I didn't intend on saying most of this, but you need to hear it. And I need to say it, and I need to hear it myself. God made you a triunity, you're a triune being, your body, soul, and spirit. One of the greatest things I ever learned when I started preaching, I don't know how I got a hold of it because I never heard it in my life, body, soul, and spirit. Till you understand that, you won't understand the Christian life. That is a must. Now the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What's that mean? Well, God said that two-edged sword can cut down into the bone and separate the marrow. That's the physical illustration there in Hebrews 4:12. Just like a sharp two-edged sword can divide the marrow from the bone, the Holy Ghost divides the spirit from the soul. Now, your body is your five senses. It's just an instrument. Your body is neither good nor bad. It doesn't sin. It's just an instrument of your soul. Your body would never sin if your soul didn't tell it to sin. Your body's just members. Now it's dying. It's got a corruption and all that. But the sin's not in the body. It's the puppet. The body's nothing but the puppet of the soul. And the soul's to be the puppet of the spirit. The soul is to react to what the spirit tells it to do. Now your spirit gives you, is really where your conscience is. Your spirit. And it's where your intuition of God is. It's where your communion with God is. That's why the lost man don't have communion with God. He's not hooked up. The phone ain't hooked up. And when you got saved, God hooked the phone up. God connected you to the power source. The natural man is dead spiritually. And all your good intentions won't change that. God's got to give you life. When God saves somebody, he puts life in them that they never had. And it's called eternal life. It's called everlasting life. And it's not the duration of it that makes it eternal. It's the quality of it. The sinner's going to die forever in hell because he's got an eternal soul. But your spirit is where the Holy Ghost lives in you. It's where he lives. And God made a place of perfection. There's one part of you can't sin, and that's your spirit. Whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can it sin, for it's born of God. Your soul can still sin. Your spirit can't sin. If your spirit can sin, the Holy Ghost would never live in you. Now, a lot of times in the Bible, the spirit's used, and it means your attitude. Now, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about where your communion of God is, your intuition, your discernment of God is, where your conscience is. When God saves you, he brings all that back to life. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. The lost man is totally controlled by his mind, his will, and his emotion. And his body just reacts to his mind, his will, and his emotion. But a saved man is to be spiritual. He's got the capacity. When you're spiritual, you're being controlled from your spirit and not your soul. Soulish is carnality. When you're controlled, so many of God's people, they're just controlled by their mind, their will, and their emotion. They're not controlled by discernment. They're not controlled by communion with God. They're not tapped into that power source. And that's what makes a difference in spiritual people and non-spiritual people. Spiritual people aren't just people that shout. That's what I used to think. Spiritual people are people that live in the realm of spirit. And the Holy Spirit's controlling. Now, in the Old Testament, when they dedicated Solomon's temple, the Holy Ghost, the Shekinah glory of God, got out of the Holy of Holies, moved into the holy place. That's the soul. And the outer court's the body. The outer court's what you see. Your soul is where you are conscious of God. You're aware of God. And this, man, I hope I ain't confusing y'all. To be full of the Holy Ghost is when the Holy Ghost moves out of your spirit into your soul and controls your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you're no longer in control. You're yielded to him. Now, when you was lost, your spirit's dead. It's stuck to your soul. When God saved you, that liberating power you felt, when God separated, divided your soul from your spirit and put life back in you. Salvation ain't praying a sinner's prayer. Salvation's getting God's life and God's nature in you. God creates a nature when he saves you. He creates a new nature in you. And it's likened unto God's nature. It's not; it ain't really God's nature, but it's likened unto it. When you had a child, when your wife conceived and you had a child, all you could give that child is what you are. You gave that child a nature. Sin produced a nature. We got a human nature. When you got saved, you got the divine nature. God created a brand new nature and put it in you. Now you can live like Adam should have lived. But you can't live it according to your own wisdom. You got to live it according to the wisdom of the Word of God. Prayer, exercises, strengthens that inner man. That's when you get power over sin, is when you're strong on the inside. And you get to where you don't even want to. Now, that doesn't mean you ain't going to be tempted. We always talk about sinless perfection. If you walk with God, you're going to sin a whole lot less. I'll tell you that. You ain't, listen to me. I don't want to fuss with none of you. You don't have to knowingly sin every day. We've made all these old excuses. Now, I know that we do sin because we're so opposite from God, and we do it probably subconsciously. You don't have to willfully sin every day. See, we're just trying to see how much we can get by with instead of how close to God we can live. Well, I hope that helped you a little bit. They just ain't no substitute, people. They just ain't no substitute for this stuff. You got to do it. Amen. See, I don't know what to do. I don't know God's will. Forget about finding God's will and get as close to God as you can. You'll find it. Because you got to get willing to do it. God ain't going to show it to you a lot of times. You ain't willing to do it. The way you find God's will is say, God, before you ever let me know it, I surrender to it before I know what it is. That's exactly right. You see, you got a presentation in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You present your body. So you present yourself to God. And then you got a transformation. God starts transforming you into what he wants you to do. And then there's a revelation of what that thing is. See, we do it backwards. God, if you'll let me know what it is, I'll decide if I want to do it. Oh, no, no. That ain't how this thing works. Present your body. Present what you are. God will start transforming you where you're willing to do it. Then he'll show you what to do. Now that ain't that, you know, God sometimes doesn't do it that way. Sometimes he reveals his will first, but I'm talking about in a general sense. Folks, we need to learn the ways of God. If you men's got any sense at all, you'll learn your wife's ways. You say she shouldn't be that way. Hey, forget you ever said that. She is that way. You ain't changing her and she ain't changing you. The die has been cast. You know what your wife is, man? She ain't nothing but sandpaper to smooth you up. That's what that husband is. Hey, man. It ain't that fine either. That's right. God chose a wife or a husband for you to make you like Christ. That's right. Teach you patience and unconditional love and all that stuff. Amen. You say, my wife ain't all she ought to be. She puts up with you, don't she? Tell you, God have mercy on these women married to preachers, all I can say. Lord God, we're strange. We're oddballs, man. You see a man, God's power on him, he's weird. That's right. Because he ain't PC. Amen. Lord God in heaven, Lord, put Trump back in office this fall. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't say that. Me and you ain't going to get along, are we? I'd be a fool not to recognize when God does something. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Well, I need to stop here and say how much I appreciate Brother Heath Williams and Brother Tyler Gauld and this church. Amen. We're indebted to you. Yes, sir. Man, I ain't heard a dud sermon yet except the ones I preach, but everything's been right on. Been good. God's been around here, man. Thick. Amen. Boy, we'll never forget Friday. Lord have mercy. Life changing. Life changing. God's got to get big to you. God ain't big to you till you get so close you bump into him every way you turn. That's why God can't go on vacation. Ain't know where he's not already at. Exactly right. He can't learn anything because he already knows everything. That's God you serve. And we can trust him. So, Brother Heath, you keep boy God's approvals on this thing. God's approval on any church is his presence. In your life, it's his presence. That's his approval on you. Preach the word. That's easy preaching, hard living right there. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's a high school up there close to where I live. They lost almost 80 football games in a row. I got a preacher friend played on that high school team for 4 years and never won a game. How'd you like to play on a team like that? But somebody had to play on the team till they got better. Hey, man. I don't know who that's for. I don't even know what that means. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. I believe that time's right now. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Don't try to change me. That's what that means. Now like me like I am. I don't like me like I am. I like me like God wants me. Amen. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. But watch thou on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, back then, an evangelist, of course, as time went on, then you had churches established, but in the original sense of the word, evangelists were church planters. They had the gift of evangelism. They'd go in, and God would save people. They'd organize a church. They'd stay with it until God sent a full-time pastor or bivocational or whatever how it was. And then as time went on and churches got established, that's when this ministry of what we have today took place. But originally an evangelist was a church planner. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. This is a good fight.
Right. Amen.
I like anything that can whoop the devil. Amen. I have fought a good fight. Now I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. My goodness, man, what words that is. You'll never improve on that right there. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. See, Paul is the greatest Christian since Jesus, or greatest preacher since Christ, the greatest Christian of the church age, and he needed fellowship. And he got discouraged. He needed words of encouragement. He needed to see people. He needed that human touch. He needed that human voice. He didn't have a wife. And so he needed people to be friends to him. And he so yearned in his last days, Christian fellowship. There ain't nothing like it. That's why I tell people at the church, whether they listen to this or not, if you want to fight, stay at the house. You ain't fighting here. I can't stand that stuff.
Amen.
I hate division.
Amen.
We come to church, we're to come to love one another.
Amen.
And to love on Jesus. And I told some men yesterday, hey, all of us love competition. Let's have a competition of who can love Jesus the most.
Amen.
And whoever wins, you won't know, because then they'd be full of pride. We'll let the Lord determine the winner of that. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul's letting you know who quit the team. Post-game interview. Who quit the team. And is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretan to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. And of course they had a good reason. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable me for the ministry. Tychus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, and Mr. Paul, he sure will. Of whom be, I'll tell you something, you'd rather, it'd be better if you put a rattlesnake in your baby's crib than mess with God's work. Of whom be thou wire also, he hath greatly withstood our words. You ever seen people just withstand you? Every preacher knows who they are because they give off a spirit. you can spot them. Just resisting you. Why? They're either lost or they're full of pride. And they won't yield because they think they know everything. My first answer, no man stood with me, all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. See, these are men just got caught up in the struggle. You got mercy on them. You got total mercy. But damn, just want to fight God's work? No, no. Got to thank God and get right, get them out. You say, well, you don't want to see nobody leave. No, I don't want to see nobody keep 25 more from coming. Sometimes you got to make a decision. Amen. Nobody, like Brother Barker said, that they don't look better going than coming, but some of them's got to go. Now, I tell people at the church this right here. Everybody is welcome to come to church, but Brother Heath, everybody ain't going to fit in. That's why God makes different churches. Everybody can come. Everybody ain't going to fit. I want them to fit. I ain't interested in big numbers. I want people that fit with the burden God's give the church. Every church has a personality, has a burden. Everybody don't fit. I'm not trying to be proud. I'm trying to be honest. Well, let's just see how many people we can get in. You're going to get more trouble than you'll ever get straightened out. We don't present the church like a business. Well, we can do more for you than that church down the road. Yeah, that's that welfare crap. What can you do for me? What have you got for my children? No, the question is, what can you do for the church? Ain't I a dinosaur? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by the preaching might be fully known, all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute, man, Priscilla and Aquila. Well, Paul is giving the post-game report. Who forsook him, who resisted him, and who stood with him. Amen. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13, the man of God shall give an account to God of the people he pastors. And he ain't going to be telling no lies because God ain't going to let him lie. It's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Amen. Y'all ever heard that before? I figured you had. You better be preparing for the judgment. You better be preparing for what's going to be said about you. The household of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia. Don't tell me Charlie Brown ain't in the Bible. There's Linus. Amen. And all the brethren. Ain't that silly. Winston, you make me silly, my man. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. At the end of a ball game, especially a pro or a college game, it is required to have a post-game interview. Now, that's all right if you're the winning team. It ain't too good if you lose. And it's really bad if you lose a close one. I'd hold up, rather get blown out and lose a game at the last minute. It hurts less. Them that you should have won that you let slip by. Them that you had in the bag in carelessness and indifference and pride cost you the game that you should have won. So they bring these coaches out and they bring these players out. And they ask the coach, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? We just lost the Super Bowl. What do you think how we feel? Those are some of the stupidest questions I've ever heard. But it's demanded of these coaches to do that. So they give the post-game interview. I'll never forget, I didn't see none of the ball game but the end. I'll tell you, if I was Sean Payton and I got robbed like the New Orleans Saints did, I'd be trying to sue somebody. And I'm not even a New Orleans fan. That's the worst call in national football history. So here's what happened. It was the NFC Championship game against the Rams, and the Rams won 26-23 in sudden death overtime. Here, I wrote this down so I'd remember. At the end of the fourth quarter, Drew Brees threw a pass to receiver Tommy Lee Lewis while the pass was in the air. Robbie Coleman enforced illegal helmet to helmet while the ball's in there. 5 yards before the ball got there. Hit him helmet to helmet and interfered with the pass. I mean, he tackled it before the pass ever got there. And the referee, I heard, was from Los Angeles. And he didn't make the call. And it cost the New Orleans Saints. There wasn't about a minute left in the game or a minute something. And they were right down there ready to score and put the game away. And a bad call cost them the game. Now, but that would have been tough having that post-game interview. Here's what Sean Payton said at the end of the game. If I can find it, I don't see it. Here it is. I think I got it right here. He said, well, I ain't got it either. But I know one thing. He is upset. And he ought to be. Because the game got stole from him. I'll tell you one thing. That's the way the devil is. Right when God's about to move, he likes to rob us of the victory so he can rub our face in it. Amen. He's a killer and a destroyer. I'll tell you one of the, you talk about bad games to have to play. What about when the New England Patriots played the Atlanta Falcons? My goodness. I'd quit playing if I was them guys. I mean, just listen. Post-game interview, there's such joy. You know, these bunch of lying football players. Oh, we believed the whole time. Yeah, sure you did. Oh, he's going to stick together. That didn't work the time they lost, did it? Everybody's so excited. Love you, man. Love you, Tom Brady. I love you, Robert Kraft. I even love you, Bill Belichick. And they hate his guts. He's meaner than a junkyard dog. Oh, I love everybody. Let me hug everybody. Ain't that a big difference when you win that post-game interview? What about that losing team? It's like pulling teeth and having root canals. Hey, nobody wants to give that. Oh, what a joy that the Apostle Paul could give a post-game interview and hallelujah, it turned out like it's supposed to be. The New England Patriots were down 28-23. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. And they're down 25 points. And then in the fourth quarter at 8 minutes, 24 seconds to go, they are down 28-12. All Atlanta's got to do is run the clock out. That's all they got to do. Run the ball, use wise clock management, run it down to about zero every time. They're going to win the game by attrition. They're going to win the game, but they're out there messing around. And Matt Ryan fumbled the ball. New England got a touchdown and made a two-point conversion. 28-20 with 5:36 to go. At 3:52, Ryan is sacked. 3:44, they call holding on Atlanta. 3rd and 23, they have to punt. If they had not been holding, they could have easily kicked a field goal and put the game away. The holding was at the 25-yard line. The field goal's out of range. Then they punt, and they give the ball to Tom Brady. You know what he's going to do. And they go down, they don't just score. They make the two-point conversion. Now, as far as New England's concerned, and them bunch of Yankees, I ain't against you Yankees, but them Boston Yankees have won enough. It's time for somebody else to get the win. You know what? The Atlanta Falcons will never get over that. They'll never get over that loss. The next year they went 10-6. The year after that they went 7-9, didn't make the playoffs. The next year they went 7-9, didn't make the playoffs. When the Carolina Panthers played the Denver Broncos, I pulled for the Carolina Panthers till them bunch of strutting idiots, the way they acted the week before that game, I pulled for Denver. way Cam Newton acted after that game, I wouldn't pull for him if he's playing Russia. That's right. Carolina would never get over that loss because they should have won. And they ain't never done nothing since. And the right kind of loss can put such a stigma on you that you can't get over it. That's why God's got to help us to win this thing. We got one shot at it. We got one opportunity at winning in life. Hey, you might lose in the first quarter. You might be down in the fourth quarter. But thank God, the last 2 minutes, God can pull you through. Post-game interview. Paul's leaving the field for the last time. He's thrown a pass, his last time. He's run the ball, his last time. This is his swan song. And he gives an analysis of the game. He gives an analysis of how he's played it. He gives an analysis of whether or not he's won. He told Timothy, what got me where I'm at, I believe in the inspired word of God. I charge thee, preach the word. God's give you something you got confidence in. Preach that word. Stand on that word. Paul said, I got where I'm at because I got total confidence in the word of God. Paul's looking back. Brother Tyler, he's looking back right into Timothy from the end zone. He ain't never going back on the field. He's about to leave that field for the last time. Post-game interview. And he's looking back down life and analyzing what the Lord has done for him. I'll tell you something. You'll never know how far you've come till you look back. There are times you need to look back and you need to thank God for those stood with you. Amen. You need to thank God for all those times the Lord stood with you when nobody else either could or anybody else either would. You need to go back and remember those times God brought you through when you thought there was no way. Amen. We look back to where Christ found us. We look back to the providential happenings in our life. We look back how faithful God was to his purpose and his power and his presence and his providence and his promise. We look back at the divine appointments. We look back at the disappointments. We look back at the discouragement. We look back at the deceptions. And thank God we look at those that invested in our life. Post-game interview. I'll never forget a football player. A man in church got converted. And he loved to go to Appalachian State University and watch them play ball. Well, they was going to play Marshall. That's up there, Hunton, West Virginia. Guess who their receiver was? Because he had such bad behavior, he got cut from Notre Dame or one of them teams. Guess who the receiver was? Randy Moss. My goodness. You talk about good. They say he's the most talented receiver that's ever lived. But you know what other reputation he's got? He give up on plays. That's what he's known for. He give up on plays. And if it's a running play and he ain't involved, he ain't blocking. He's halfway trying. And he got tagged with that. I don't want to be tagged with that. Oh, I might not accomplish much, but I want to be giving it my best. Amen. God help us. There's a lot of people got all these gifts and talents, but they halfway serve God and their abilities have become their curse. Because they depend on them instead of the Lord. Lord God, post-game interview. I want to thank God for my coach. The Holy Ghost. He sure did run me hard. I sure didn't understand what he was doing half the time. Now, Brother Jason, you get in that fourth quarter, whether it's basketball, whatever it is, those that's the best in shape are the ones probably going to win, even if they're not the best. Hey, man, if you ain't the best team, just be the best in shape. That'll win a lot of games. And give it your best. And go out there with some confidence. Hey, man, hey, you might beat us today, but you're going to pack your lunch if you do. We're going to give you all you can take. That's attitude. Oh, thank God for my coach. Thank God for the game plan. Yeah. Yeah. Boys, a lot of times I thought he ought to pass when he run. but he's always right. He knows the weakness of the other team. He knows the strength of your team. Amen. Well, what I just cataloged is sort of what old Paul, he's in that dark dungeon of a cell, and he's looking at spiritual reality from the walls of that cell. And he's writing to a young man. He said, Timothy, I ain't tell you this. You gonna preach to people? Don't want to hear a word you got to say. It's gonna get worse. And they're going to try to find these boys because they're going to have itching ears. They're going to try to find these show boys. And they're going to want showtime religion. He said, but it ain't going to work. You preach that word, son. Don't you give in to that culture. They're going to tell you quieting down. Do you think we're deaf? No, be excited about what you're saying. You may not act like an idiot like I do, but be excited about what you're saying. You want your wife to say, I guess I love you. No, you like when she grabs you. Say, oh, I thought you forgot how to do that. Passion. Passion. Passion for the game. I tell you, Brett Favre had the passion for the game. Dan Marino had the passion for the game. Pete Rose had passion for the game. Michael Jordan had passion for the game. It makes a difference when you like what you do. When God ain't on me, I like to hide. When I feel the Holy Ghost, I like what I'm doing. Amen. What a blessing for the people that let you scream at them. Post-game interview, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Still works. Well, Lord, there ain't many getting saved. Well, there ain't nothing else going to work. There ain't no plan B. God chose preaching the word. You may not preach it just like I do. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Preach it with the personality God give you, but preach that word. Your decimals may be lower than mine. Ain't got a thing to do with it. Preach that word. That's what works. It's worked for 2,000 years. It'll work now. Hey, man. I asked my daddy one time. I said, you really believe? I was just picking at him. You really believe old time religion works? He said, I sure do, but who's practicing it? Hey, don't you let these boys get you off track. Anything causes you to lose your burden to pray and burden for the lost ain't God. I don't care who's preaching it. Passion. Amen. Old Paul's post-game interview, he said, Timothy, preach that word because the Lord is still a-coming. And we ain't replaced Israel. Amen. He's going to judge all. Paul said, I still believe in God's methods. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Where does ball players get in shape? It's out of season. You don't go into the starting of the season working out. You better have been working out for 6 months. Out of season. Amen. Oh, Paul's emphasis here is on consistency. Notice, in this letter, there's 36 references to the true gospel. That's what Brother Winston's hung up on right now, and it's a good place to get hung up on, what the gospel is. And anybody don't preach the gospel is a false prophet, or they're ignorant of it. Paul put big emphasis on the gospel. 17 references he made to false teachers. Hold fast, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of men in faith and love, which is Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When it's practice time, give it all you got. The coach is watching you. A lot of times a boy with less ability, coach will put on the field because he gives it his all. God will let you pass up a lot of these flyer boys if you'll put your all in it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, nobody knows if I'm studying. He does. A workman that needeth to be ashamed, not to divide the word of truth. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is probable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, we don't believe in preaching doctrine. Ain't you an idiot? There's a God. That's doctrine. Christ died on the cross. That's doctrine. Amen. What people said, don't you preach that I disagree with. That's what they mean by that. Be ready to preach, he said, at all times. He said, be ready to preach when they hear it, when they don't. Just thank God he called you. Give you something to preach that's worth telling. Thank God for the story we got to tell. Well, I got to hurry with this post-game interview. He said, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? They shall turn away their ears from hearing the truth and be turned into fables. My uncle used to say, he said, some people would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. And some people would rather climb a tree to believe a lie, hear a lie, than stand on the ground and hear the truth. And he's right. You know why people don't like the truth? Because they're a bunch of rebels and full of pride. Amen. Preach the word. Timothy, we ain't going to slick this thing down now. You're going to get opposed. There's going to be a bunch not hear you. But you just be instant in season, out of season. Because God's watching you. And you're doing it for the Lord. And he's going to take an account of it. And so the Itching Ears Baptist Church. Amen. Give me something that makes me feel good. Hey. Praise God and you'll feel good. Amen. Honor God. Glory to God. Honor God and you'll feel real good. Amen. Glory to your name, Lord. He said they'll be turned aside unto fables. Yeah, like evolution, liberalism, socialism. We ain't fighting Democrats and Republicans today. We're in a spiritual battle of good versus evil. They're going to deny the scriptures. They're going to deny the deity of Christ. Here's what you do, Timothy. Say you not believe. You may not believe in God. I met him. He's real to me. Yeah. Amen. Don't tell me there's no God. I talked to him today. Yeah. Don't tell me salvation ain't really changed me. Yeah. Amen. Let me give you a word of testimony. Not what I've heard, not what I think, what I know. Yeah. Right. I know. That I know. Yeah. Some things. He said, "With watch thou on all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist." He said, be watchful. You better look out for them false teachers. You better look out for that false doctrine. Because it's real subtle and it's real slick. Be watchful like a good shepherd. Keep your eyes open. Do the work of an evangelist. Keep a heart for the lost. Fulfill the purpose of your ministry. That's what he's saying. Now notice this right quick. He said, Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, the Lord's about to retire me. I'll tell you something. They all lose their step. I don't care how good they are. They all lose their step. And they all get to where they can't do it. Michael Jordan is a real ball player because he never did strut. And he never did attack, never got in politics making half America mad because he sold tennis shoes to everybody. He had enough sense. And Michael Jordan's a team player. Hey, man, that's what he was. I ain't a Carolina fan, but I got enough sense to know when a man's good. Oh, Lord, I just shouldn't say that. We'll be fighting before I get out of here. Amen. Oh, Lord. But he got there come that day. He couldn't do it. No. Kobe Bryant come along, showed him up. A good ball player can't play when he gets showed up. He's got to quit. Oh, Paul said, I'm still ready to go. Still got the strength to go. I'm not retiring because I've lost a step. I'm retiring because the Lord is going to take me to the big house. It's time for the award show. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm poured out like a drink offering. I've left it all on the field. Man. Brother Winston, I can't say that today, but with everything in me, I want to be able to say that one day. I left it all on the field. Hey, man. Left it all on the field. You know why? You better leave it all on the field. They got cameras on you. This stuff's recorded. You goof off, that's the only segment they're going to watch and embarrass you. God's got a camera. He's watching. Drink offerings poured out on the altar with the sacrifice. That's Jewish thought. Here's a Roman thought of that word. Every Roman meal ended with a small sacrifice to a ritualistic god. In this sense, Paul is saying the day's done, the meal's over, and I'm poured out to God. I've given it all. Amen. Paul considers himself to be at the place of execution. Hey, I'll tell you something. He didn't go there shedding no tears of self-pity. He said, I've been waiting for this day for a long time. Amen. Hey, you know what Paul did 14 years? What's his? He went to heaven. Now, you correct me. You guys correct me. And if I'm wrong, I'll correct this because I won't say something wrong. Paul didn't say what he saw. He said what he heard. I don't think he could have seen anything and lived, but he heard. And what he just heard, it wasn't lawful for a man to utter. In other words, he knew how to speak all those languages, and there was no vocabulary or articulation of the greatest spokesman in public that could even describe what he heard. He said, I got a longing to go to heaven. Lord, God, get me up there. God said, no, they need you down there. He said, God, they get through with me down here. I'm sure looking forward to get up there. Hey, mate, you ain't going to be crying to come back to earth when you get to heaven. Amen. Oh, Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. Show me. You going to cut this head off? Oh, praise God. That's exactly right. But he's wanting to get to the one that saved him. Brother Terry's got an admonition. He's got a charge. Then he's got an encouragement to Timothy. Then he's got a warning. Then he's got a testimony. Greatest testimony a child can give is I fought a good fight. Amen. That speaks of warfare. I fought a good fight against my flesh. I fought a good fight against the foes. I fought a good fight against the fables. Amen. Thank God it's a good fight. Hey, good fight. Pray. Thank God. Like your grandpa said one time, may God let us leave here with a handful of demon hide. Amen. A good fight. Good fight. You low down devil. You try to destroy me, but God won. A good fight. We're going to judge him one of these days. You better quit picking on us. We don't know about him. He said, you put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles. Amen. For us country people, the willies of the devil. Hey, man, ain't a willies Jeep either. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My God. I'm telling you, our Lord wounded his head. And he's mad at those the Lord died for, which is everybody in here. He writes checks he can't cash. Satan does. He makes threats he can't back up. Of those thou's given me, I have lost none. I ain't worried about going to hell. Christ suffered hell for me. I ain't got to endure to the end. He endured to the end. Amen. Hallelujah. One day the tongue's going to get stuck out. And that low down rascal, the enemy of God, and my soul endure hardness as a good soldier. Jesus Christ, you just live for today. What you just said, get to the end of the day. Tap that cell phone, say, Satan, I whooped you again. You live for that every day. Satan, I whooped you. God whooped you today. Amen. You don't feel like going to church, you go anyway. Say, body. I tell you what Ed Maccabee said one time. He said back then they preached revivals all through Saturday night. He said sometimes I'd get it at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd lay down, it'd be 6 o'clock. He said, feet hit the floor. He said, my body ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go to church because it's right. Look in the mirror, whooped you again. The Lord whooped you again. Tell you one thing, when you really make a sacrifice, man, you feel the Holy Ghost bless you for that. You'll live for that. You'll live for that joy swells up in you that you please the Lord. War, good warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 11 times about done. 11 times in the New Testament. 1 John 5, 4 and 5, 3 times. Revelation 2 and 3, 7 times. Revelation 21, 7 uses this word. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I'll be his God and he shall be my son. That means for those that overcome, have a special communion and fellowship with God for all eternity. Well, if I can just get in by the skin of my teeth, hey, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want an abundant entrance? Well, if I can just have a little cabin in the corner of glory, thank God don't build cabins. Lord God, who wrote half of these songs? Brother Jimmy Cottle, did you write any log cabin songs? Said, Lord, build my mansion right next door to Heath. Amen. Hey, those seven churches, always something about an overcomer. Now, he's writing to save people, but he's talking about an overcomer. That's cream of the crop. That's them special forces, Brother Vaughn, and you're one of them. Overcometh means to conquer, to be victorious, to carry off the victory. It means to be victorious against all foes, to subdue. We overcome. Let me give you an example. Church of Ephesus. He said, you left your first love, but to them that overcometh. What do you overcome? A cold heart in a cold church. And you're going to be Mr. Bubbly. Amen, Lawrence Welk. You're going to be Mr. Bubbly. I ain't talking about champagne now. I'm talking about joy. Hey, man, you ain't got to jump up and jump on that crowd that's dead. They don't know they're dead. You just act like you're alive. Him that overcometh. Amen. Glory to God. Still excited about being married to the Lord. In love with the Lord. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Hey, man, who don't like to be loved? Who don't like to be loved? But I do. A fierce fight, a formidable fight, a famous fight. And Satan's going to fight you to the end. That low-down piece of trash liar, I tell you what he does. It's at the end of the game. There's 30 seconds to go. He's down 500 and nothing. That low-down rascal's acting like he's winning. Then lies after the game when God humiliates him like he won. He's coming today sticking that tongue out and admitting who won. Y'all get excited about it. I'm telling you what, I can't wait till God whoops. I can't wait to see it. Thank God I'm hooked up to that white horse rider. Man, battle stallion. That ain't no Tennessee Walker. Ain't no quarter horse. That's heaven's battle stallion. Like one preacher said, he said, you mean to tell me ye believe? People's coming out of heaven riding white horses. And this preacher said, I'd believe it if the Bible said the white horse is going to ride me. Timothy, here is my post-game interview. I want you to know Jesus Christ is worth it. God's people are worth it. The lost man's soul is worth it. I just want you to know that. The warfare, the walk, finished my course. I've run the race. One good thing about this race, man, I tell you what I was telling the church the other night, thank God for sparing Ryan Newman. What a miracle. My goodness. Them boys out there, it's like days of thunder. Rowdy Burns, what Robert Duvall told old Tom Cruise. He said, Rowdy Burns would wreck you in a second to win. You know, good thing about this race, we're running. I ain't running against Heath. I got my own course. There ain't nobody challenging me except the devil. And we all get to win. We can all win the Daytona 500. All of us can be winners. Because we ain't competing against each other. We ain't going to get no laurel crown. We're going to get the crown of life. No rewards. Paul's dying total victory. Brother Tyler, he preaches on all this history stuff. History of the marathon. Athens defeated the Persians. Then instructed a runner to race to Athens. And said, don't stop till you've delivered the news at Athens. He ran from Marathon to Athens, 26.2 miles. When he finished the course, delivered the message, he dropped over dead. And the marathon race is to honor that man that gave his all, died, obeying the command of the king. Paul said, I'm going to cast off this burden. Amen. We get to rest for all eternity. Let's do something for God right now. Said, I'm going to preach my last sermon. I'm going to pray my last prayer. I'm going to fight my last battle. I'm going in my last struggle. But I ain't going to praise him my last time. I guarantee you that. That's just going to start. An eternal honeymoon. Amen. We need to change the name of that honeymoon. In heaven, it's honey universe. Man. Lord just does that stuff show off, you know. A warfare, walk in a word is the end of it. I've kept the faith. Bring me the parchment. I want my books and I want the word of God and I want somebody to fellowship with. But if they won't let you in here to fellowship with me, get my books, get my the word of God. He could memorize, he could probably quote it all, but he wanted to read it. Henceforth, life is fragile, but God's faithful. Henceforth. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. It's called the victor's crown. Jesus wears the royal crown, but we can wear the victor's crown. Amen. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. I told Brother Calvin the other day, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. Jesus says, a man died, he took all Satan could throw at him. He took all the Romans and the Jews could throw at him. And in his last moments in death, when Brother Tyler, all the blood's gone, he's dehydrated and they can't even mumble. He shouted up with a loud voice. Amen. He's in control. And he shouted with a loud voice, couldn't even die till he told his spirit to leave his body. Hey, man, we're going to finish strong. He said, the course is finished. Hey, man, here's a little illustration, brother. Who's going to play the piano, Brother Heath? You are. Everybody in here's heard of William Borden. I want to make sure I got this right, so I looked it up before I come over here. Heir to the Borden family fortune, 1904, I think he was born in 1887. 1904, he graduated from Chicago High School at 16 years old. His family was so filthy rich, Borden family dynasty, so rich, they sent him on a world tour for graduation. But he had some money. As he went around the world, went through Europe, went through Asia, Africa, he got such a burden for lost souls. He's a saved man. He got such a burden to be a missionary. He is told by a friend when he come back home, he's rich, he's got all that wealth, but he's going to leave it all. Go be a missionary in China. A friend told him, he said, why are you throwing it all away to be a missionary? In response to that criticism, he wrote, no reserves. Yes. 1905, the wealthy Borden boy arrived at Yale University. During his college years, William or Bill Borden made an entry in his personal journal that said, no to self and yes to Jesus every time. He met with the students, started a prayer meet before breakfast, prayer and Bible reading. But the mission feels on his heart. He administered to the downcast and the addicted on the streets. Upon graduation, William Borden turned down high-paying jobs. He's already wealthy. In his Bible, there was found no retreats under no reserves. Amen. After Yale, he went to Princeton Seminary. When he got done 2 years at Princeton Seminary, he sailed to China, hoping to work with the Muslims in China. Boy, you got to have a burden to do that. On the way, he stopped in Egypt to learn Arabic. And there he contacted spinal meningitis. Within a month, he's dead. Ain't that a waste? Ain't that a waste? That's what the world says. He's wealthy, got all that money. He's going to go to the mission field. He stops in Egypt to learn Arabic. He gets spinal meningitis, dies within a month, 25 years old. They found in his journal where he had written these words. Three words, young preachers, don't ever forget them. No reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. You know why no regrets? He finished his course. It wasn't what he thought it'd be. But he finished his course, and like David Brainerd that died at 29 years old, David Brainerd's caused more people to yield to the mission field. God used his illustration, and he lived a short life. God used the story of William Borden all around the world to let you see just being in God's will is the victory. Not how many people you see get saved. Being in God's will is the victory. If you stay in God's will, you are an overcomer. Man, I love you. I want you to serve him with passion. Serve him. Be known that you're in love with him. That's what's going to make all the difference. You love him, you'll love his people. You love lost sinners, you love his word. Let's bow our heads, will you? I'm not a good person, even me preaching this. I'm just telling you about Paul's post-game interview. You ever been in the game? You ever been in the fight? You ever sweated? You ever been hit by the darts of the enemy? You ever been wounded? You got any purple hearts where you got wounded in the work of the Lord? But when you got healed up, you said, let me back out there, Lord. Get me back out there, Lord. Get me back out there, Lord.
Well, praise God for that message. The post-game interview, Paul's last words. I can't think of anything more fitting than to close this meeting out with a word like that. Everything we heard today, by God's grace, I'll be better in my Christian life this coming year for what I've heard today. Courage, challenged, all the men, they had something from heaven. And they really helped me. I needed to hear that, and I appreciate it. Tell you what I was feeling in my heart, believe it'd be a good prayer to have, is, Lord, let me give it all I got, leave it on the field. That word struck my heart. I like what he said, talking about Poppy Sexton and what he said. I'd like to have a handful of fruit in one hand and a handful of devil's hide in the other by God's grace when I get to heaven. Wouldn't that be good? I ain't never wanted to do anything halfway. I ain't never been able to much. That's why me and Brother Tyler get along so well. We can't stand anybody that won't do something all the way. Drives us crazy. If you're going to do it. If you ain't, don't. Get out of the way. If we're going to do something, let's do it. God's sure worthy of us doing it all the way. That's where the theme come from, going all in. God's worth our all in. So this year, till we see each other again, may it be all in for the cause. Those soldiers have to go all in for each other like we heard last night. And God will be all in for us. We're soldiers of the Lord. May we go all in. Give God everything you got this year and trust Him that He'll bless it. May we not just be all in for the Lord, but how about this? Let's be all in for each other. Don't forget about each other. Get you one of them lists that Heather can get us put together. And if I've ever learned anything from the preacher man, it's this. When you can't pray, there's one thing you'll always have liberty to pray for. You pull your prayer list out and go to praying for preachers. And you'll find wading into some deep waters before you know it, because that's always the heart of God. Got to pray for each other. Pleases God. Pull for each other. If one of us is hurting, we need to all hurt. Somebody has a great victory at their church, we ought to all have victory. Let's pull for each other. Hope we'll see you next year. If you ever need anything, remember, just call us. Any of us, men, ladies, we're here for you, all right? We love you. Thank God for you.